This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening.
This was an ailment that many people just power through, and that's what I thought I would do as well. I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to, you know, quit campaigning. I certainly didn't want to miss the 9/11 memorial. I got the antibiotics up and going, got the rest that I needed, and we're going on from there.
That was Hillary Clinton on Thursday in Greensboro, North Carolina, where she returned to the campaign trail after a three-day break to recover from pneumonia. Hillary Clinton is now making up for some lost time off of the trail. Those 3 days, a freer rein for Donald Trump. So Clinton, back and campaigning, is trying to get the conversation back where she wants it to be on Donald Trump's fitness to hold the highest office.
This is about the kind of country we want to be, whether we'll make the economy work for everybody and not just those at the top, whether we will bring people together or pit Americans against each other, whether we'll work with our allies to keep us safe or put a loose cannon in charge who would risk everything.
Donald Trump, meanwhile, continues his normalization campaign, appearing less bombastic when he can. Trump got some presidential points yesterday for not insulting Hillary Clinton's stamina at the Economic Club of New York, and instead he read from notes.
It's a silent nation of jobless Americans. All you have to do is look at Flint, where I spent a lot of time, the city of Flint, and what a disaster has taken place. The jobs have been stripped from the community, and its infrastructure has totally collapsed.
On the policy side, Donald Trump did release that economic plan and tax plan this week and a proposal to extend paid family leave to new mothers. And today, after 5 years of pushing the racist lie with which he did so much to poison American politics, Donald Trump said this.
President Barack Obama was born in the United States, period. Now we all want to get back to making America strong and great again. Thank you. Thank you very much.
One question. Has Donald Trump gotten all of the use he needs out of birtherism so that now he can discard it on the country's doorstep? Or will he be held to account for what he said? Now, most polls, though, do show a tightening gap between Clinton and Trump. The election is 52 days away, and with Hillary Clinton returning to the campaign trail now, it's a good time to drill down on the state of the race. Michael Ramlett is here. He's CEO and co-founder of Morning Consult. That's a nonpartisan media and survey research company. Michael Ramlett, welcome.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Let's assess the state of the race right now. What are the numbers telling us, and how reliable are the numbers that suggest a narrowing race between Clinton and Trump here?
I'll start with the second question. I think the numbers are very reliable. At Morning Consult, we conduct thousands of interviews every single day. We're running one of the largest likely voter and registered voter polls. And what we've seen right after the Democratic convention, Clinton was up 9 points at 46 to 37. That's narrowed down to 41-39. Similarly, this week, the CBS New York Times poll finds the race tied at 42. I think what you're seeing is that you had the post-convention bounce. It lasted longer than many expected it would or has historically. But what you're seeing is in the last few weeks, all but every major poll is seeing a tighter race than what they saw at the end of August.
So you're seeing this as a consistent result across polls and across platforms. And that's important because that suggests a real effect, not just a numbers effect.
That's right. And there's obviously a difference between national polls and state polls. What we've seen in some of the recent state polls is a similar effect. I think at a national level, you just have more polling data to say with greater confidence that the race is definitely tightened.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the state polls, because as we have to remind ourselves every time we have this conversation every 4 years, those are the important ones. The national poll is a headline. The state polls really matter. Tightening in Ohio and Iowa. Let's start with those two, because these were two important places where Hillary has had a lead so far.
That's right. Ohio, Iowa. I'd also would throw in there Florida, Nevada, and Arizona, as well as Pennsylvania. These are states where you have to see Trump continue to make up ground to be competitive in the Electoral College. One of the unique things we do at Morning Consult, because we do over 20,000 interviews a month, we do a 50-state analysis each month. We released ours last week. We have Clinton at 332 Electoral College votes versus Trump's 206. But it's important to know with Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Florida, it's easy to make up ground in the Electoral College. And so I think what we saw here in the last week, there was a Bloomberg poll out, a CNN poll in Ohio, that both similarly found Trump competing much more competitively. The interesting nuance to all of these polls, and important for your listeners, is that there's a difference between registered voters and likely voters. If you look at a lot of the polls before Labor Day, it's almost all registered voters. And the actual turnout of registered voters is about 87% to 90%. So in 2012, 87% of registered voters actually went to the polls and voted on Election Day or prior to Election Day. In the case of 2008, you had a record high or near record high of 90%. So it's important to know as we go into the fall here is that you're looking at likely voters, and not every likely voter model is the same. So it's just important to know that that's some of the nuance that you're going to see in some of the noise around different polls.
Okay. One of the effects that we've seen so far in this race is that when things do get closer between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, it's usually Hillary doing worse, going down, and Donald Trump having a hard time breaking his hard ceiling of, I don't know, 42%, 43%. Does that persist, or is Donald Trump succeeding in winning over a lot of these moderate Republicans or queasy independents who may vote for a Republican usually, but they're uneasy about Donald Trump?
I think it's important to note, actually, that they have both very low ceilings. Neither one of them have broken the 50% gap. And I think that it's important to note that because you have historically the two most unpopular candidates. And so seeing major shifts one direction or the other is probably not expected, because we're not talking about a candidate that's introducing themselves to the American public for the first time. What we're seeing, and you're seeing this with the third-party candidates, is that in many cases, the public in general is very upset about both candidates. So you see a much higher number with a Gary Johnson. You see some support going to Jill Stein. I think it's noteworthy in that you have the change in media narrative, especially here in the last week. To provide some context for your listeners, 80% of Americans said that they had read, heard, or seen something about the health scare this weekend. We were the first poll out, and one of the questions we asked was sort of, what are the overall context of the health issues this weekend? And what you're finding with Clinton is that they reinforce around this issue of trustworthiness. And I think what we found in the poll was over 50% of Americans felt that she had not been trustful about the issues around her health this weekend. And certainly the diagnosis on Friday is something that really plays into the media narrative. But I think in general, what you're finding is that that shift back and forth is really in the 40s to high 30s.
Okay. And Donald Trump, it's been analyzed since the beginning, well, at least since the beginning of the general election, even though they both have a ceiling, that his main mission to win in a place like Pennsylvania and have a path to the White House is to convince, you know, a lot of Republicans, former Republicans, or people who did vote for John McCain or Mitt Romney, that they can vote for Trump. They can get in his basket, as I've said on this show. Is that effect happening?
I think that's what you're looking to see play out here in Ohio and Pennsylvania, is that he certainly does better with sort of the classical Reagan Democrats. And I think what you're beginning to see here, and potentially this is a narrative that'll play out over the weekend, is on the birther issue, what effect does that have with African Americans? Certainly, Secretary Clinton really succeeded in the primaries in large part because of the diversity of her coalition. And so you have this issue playing out where the degree to which Trump can appeal to more working class white Americans and more of the industrial Midwest. At the same time, the issue set for Clinton, especially in states like Florida, or you look to the Southwest like Arizona or New Mexico, you know, the issues around Hispanic and Latino voter participation will play out here this fall.
Hillary Clinton is weaker with younger voters. We've seen this the entire race, much weaker with young voters than she needs to be. Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, both hitting the campaign trail for Hillary in Ohio this weekend. It seems like they're going after those very voters where Hillary needs some help.
Yeah, I think this is a question about surrogates in general, as surrogates oftentimes are important or play maybe a bigger role for candidates who may be lesser known. But in the case of Trump and Clinton, they just have such high recognition, whether it's name ID, picture ID, and the sort of overall concern about the unpopularity of each individual candidate. I'm just not sure the degree to which one surrogate, whether it was Warren or whether it was Sanders, are going to make a huge difference. I think what's going to play out here is sort of a look to the fall. You have a major presidential debate here on September 26th. That's really going to be potentially the largest televised event, certainly this year, if not in history. And I think what you're going to see is a potential for that to reshape the race. You're going to see it play out through debate season. Unfortunately, there could be an event like a terrorism event that could shape how national security plays into it. And then you have to look to the get out the vote operations. Clinton campaign has invested a lot in churning out voters. Not as much investment from the Trump campaign, but you've seen the RNC try to play a bigger role in that space as well.
Hillary Clinton is back on the trail after a break to recover from her illness. Donald Trump is busy normalizing his campaign, trying to make it appear less racist and more normal and cast him more presidential. Michael Ramlett, co-founder and CEO of Morning Consult, setting the race for us yet again. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dad.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.